Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back, J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it. Can I interest you in a little American basketball news, Jason?
Sure.
Kenyon Giles, who averaged 19.1 points a game for Wichita State last year, is going back to Wichita. I'm going to Wichita. Boom, 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 boom. He's part of, you got to keep up. There's so much legal leash you got to keep up with. In college sports these days, there's the Ohio lawsuits, and there's Tennessee lawsuits, and there's Colorado injunctions, and there's South Carolina lawsuits. Well, Kenyon Giles is part of the South Carolina lawsuit against the NCAA, and so he is seeking a fifth season in the class of 2022 as a member of the class of 2022, and he is eligible as of today. And he's going back. He's going back to Wichita. He was part of that team last year that won 24 games. Did they sweep Memphis, or was it only one meeting? I can't remember. I'm sure they did sweep Memphis, it would be my guess.
I remember Bradshaw falling.
Yes, they did sweep Memphis last year. Wichita State, 74-59 in Wichita, and then 88-82 here in Memphis. So, yeah, I mean, Bradshaw was a faller, man. I mean, he
got pushed at the, y'all remember at the free throw line, he tried to act mad when he got back up.
Yes, and then didn't he get ejected?
Maybe.
I think he got was that Will Berg, the big white dude that he was trying to get at? He's back as well.
Vaguely remember that. Just remember how he hit the floor like a sack of bricks.
Kenyon Giles led the Wichita State Shockers in scoring both games against Memphis last season.
Mm.
So he is now back. So with the addition of Kenyon Giles, I already went through and did the math. It takes him from 68 to 63 at Torvik. Not a huge jump, but does, I think, solidify them as the favorite in the American for next season. Obviously, there's no 5-5 guys that Memphis can recruit back to Memphis. Like Doug McDaniel, nobody wants. I was told by a Mountain West coach that they were called and asked, hey, do you want Doug McDaniel? And that coach said, no. So Doug is having a hard time finding a roster.
Wow.
From the sounds of it. And I get why, because every team he's ever been on has been a loser. And so who is desperate for that at this point in the season? Maybe a lower level or something. Maybe Nolan at Tennessee State or something. I don't know. But Kenyon Giles is going back. So it doesn't really change a whole lot for Memphis. Obviously, they are where they are in Torvik. I mean, I'll be interested to see when the betting markets come out. Will they be priced a little higher than what they are right now? I assume they will because, again, this 110 ranking does not include Popovich for the Tigers. And does it take them from 110 to 90? Probably not. But, it does make a significant difference. We're talking about a 24-year-old pro who played, several years over there in Europe. And he's not eligible yet, so we don't know for sure. But they need him. If they don't have him, we can go ahead and put a wrap on this, okay? They brought him in for a reason. But Wichita State is bringing back Kenyon Giles, who, again, was their leading scorer last year and will be their best player again this season. Just to kind of go around the American for you as we're on the topic, you have Wichita State at 63 with Giles, Tulsa at 79. all the way at 79 this year, which is kind of shocking.
Very.
I don't think they've ever been 79 at Torvik.
Again, what have those two spent in terms of on their roster? That's Wichita State and Tulsa is what I'd want to know.
It can't be a lot. Although Tulsa just added Caleb Banks, the kid that I think was at Tulane, had been around.
So the name sounds familiar, but I don't remember.
He was at DePaul last year, Tulane the year before that, oh. And then I think Indiana before that averaged, I don't know exactly what his average was last year, but is a decent player. So you add him. I think they have some guys coming back. So, you know, Tulsa all the way to 79, amazing. So they're second right now in terms of Torvik. Then you have South Florida at 91. They would be third. Charlotte at 96. They would be fourth. And then I think you're fifth at 110. UAB sixth at 112. North Texas seventh at 116. So it's jumbled up. The only team that really seems to have separated itself is Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they brought in Frieson.
I love.
Chattanooga. Bringing back Kenyon Johnson. And I also think the other thing with Wichita is that they actually do have some returners, which, you know, is pretty rare in this day and age. So you get Kenyon Giles back. Will Berg is back. Battle is back for them. So, you know, they definitely do have some returners from, you know. Well, Battle was actually at Temple last year, I think. Or is this a projection? I don't know. But at any rate, no, I think he was there. Yeah, he was there last year. So Battle, he was at Temple his freshman year. I think he was at Wichita State last year. So Battle is back. Giles is back. And Wilberg is back. So they have some returners, which I think is the reason why you would put them as the favorite, just kind of by default, have the highest rating, have the most returners. Makes sense. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's not the Bible, but that's just where it is. So Memphis is going to have to overachieve. I mean, I know Ed Scott feels good about it. He was on with GP earlier this week. He was talking about how we upped our money. We like our roster. We have some specialists. So, okay, got to go out there and show it. Got to go out there and do it. You play a very difficult schedule. You know, that's also by design. We'll see how everything holds up. I mean, you got four opportunities, very first four games of the season. It's like Memphis football. What are you going to be? We'll know exactly what you're going to be in the first four games. You could start 0-4, or if you go 2-2. If you go 2-2, we'll say, okay, this team has some juice. This team has an opportunity in conference play to do what they need to do, win the American, make the tournament. That's, I mean, would I like to make it at large? Absolutely, because I think that really suggests, in a 76-team field, that really suggests that you're healthy, you're stable, you're in a good place. It all depends how it looks, you know? I mean, I can't say, like, all automatic bids aren't created equally. How close are they to an at large? I mean, it all just depends, but you know, I would like to see that just as a surefire 100% solid step. You put yourself in position by the end of the non-conference where, you know, again, even just going 500 is fine. You know, if you find a way to finish 500 or even a game above 500, that's a good effort in the non-conference. But Wichita State adding a familiar face, Kenyon Giles, and they're going to be the favorite in the American.
It's a very sad story about a university and a cycling team that I had no idea existed here in Tennessee or how good the cycling team was, but a terrible tragedy. A story up over at The Athletic, two members of the Milligan University cycling team were killed and seven others injured, and a driver was charged with vehicular homicide. This was yesterday morning after officials said he struck riders who were training on a mountain highway here in Tennessee. Sophomores Braden Rogers and Halen Ingdahl, I believe is the pronunciation of the second rider, were killed in the crash, which happened around 8 a.m. according to Milligan. Which is a private Christian liberal arts school in northeastern Tennessee. It's near Johnson City. The crash occurred on Highway 19E near Simmerly Creek Road in Carter County. The Tennessee Highway Patrol said on social media the driver was 69 years old. His name is John Benfield of Newland, North Carolina. He's been charged with two counts of vehicular homicide by recklessness and five counts of aggravated assault by vehicle by recklessness. Stephen R. Finney, the district attorney general for Carter County, said, the interesting thing about this team is how good they were. That, you know, other than the details of this case and everything else, I had no idea in terms of this team out of Milligan. had claimed the men's team time trial national title at the USA Cycling Collegiate Road Nationals in Madison, Wisconsin. Training on these mountain roads in Tennessee is part of what's made them so good, so elite. As they said, it's not a bunch of club guys getting together to ride. They know what they're doing. They rode in a Peloton. One of the boys just won last weekend in one of the local races. This is a school of an enrollment of just 1,200 with apparently an elite cycling team. Had you guys heard of Milligan University before today,
I had.
Before this story? Okay, yeah. You had.
It's a very small Christian school. Clearly. In the East. The president of North Central College came from Milligan, yeah.
And seven of their 11 cyclists on this elite team got wiped out by this 69-year-old driver.
Bro, in East Tennessee, the streets are... Chris Michaels, who we just saw in the hall, the program director for the River, he got sideswiped with one of these old bastards in East Tennessee because there's all these old people out there and you got these treacherous mountain roads.
And was booked into jail and is getting, again, five counts of aggravated assault by vehicle, by recklessness. They're including the recklessness in the vehicular homicide charges, two of those as well for the two riders who were dead. Clearly, those folks in that community know about these riders because you do, and how elite, and you will see them on these mountain roads. And so for this 69-year-old, clearly he must have been showing signs of, being out of control or whatever else, if they're willing to push it to these, to this degree in terms of the charges themselves. The school has been clearly, as you would expect, absolutely rocked by this, because again, it represents a huge part of the percentage of the school. Period.
Yeah,
their cycling team, just this small school of 1,200 up near Johnson City. So
this was clearly on nightly news last night. It was a major story.
One dude basically took out the whole team.
A lot of people do this on purpose too.
I had no idea of how proud Milligan is and should be of this cycling team that they've now had for years over there. And in one, fell swoop there, Benfield, 69-year-old driver, just about takes it out. Thoughts and prayers are clearly with the families who have already lost two. You've got five more in the hospital right now. And so, again, just a terrible story.
Yeah, they said they smelled marijuana
on the 69-year-old man.
Yeah, they didn't find any, but there was an odor, so...
He's out in the mountain smoking dope and wanting to take out some cyclists.
Well, he probably didn't even know. I mean, he probably
was out of it.
And those mountains around the corners and stuff, you can sometimes not even see it.
Mm-hmm. It's very treacherous.
Yeah, they did not apply brakes. So.
Wow.
He didn't see them.
Yeah.
Took out seven of the 11 that are on the team. So this team's been rocked. That community's been rocked. And I'm sure it'll be a while before they've got any sort of peace in that.
Yeah, I mean,
in that area, families.
I know we know it, but man, just the death traps that are vehicles, man. Like, your life is, obviously you do what you can do as a defensive driver and you pay, but between somebody maybe being impaired, my kid's not even close to driving. This would, I think, eat me alive, like, as a parent every day knowing my kid's driving, right? Like, I don't think I don't think I would ever have peace. Any day that I know that my 16-year-old or 17-year-old is driving, like, there's just, it's, oh, man. Because sometimes, like, think about the woman who was, who got hit by Henry Ruggs. All she was doing was that she was at a red light. She wouldn't even, and her life was taken from her. The car explodes, because Henry Ruggs is drunk and he's going 120 miles an hour. I mean, there's a million stories like that. All these guys were doing was riding their bikes. We all have our feelings about people that ride bikes, right? But it doesn't. I don't want to mow them over.
Yeah, you can't mow them over. But I will say I don't think that's the case here. But it sounds like the marijuana was the deal, and an old dude and the hills. But like, I do think my opinion is sometimes it is a little treacherous getting on some of them two wheelers like around Germantown. I see them, and it's like they ride in packs, and it's like they take over. Now I'm not absolving at all in this story, by the way.
But I think that's because they feel like they have to.
Yeah, you kind of got to ride in packs. You got
to
be careful.
Safe.
Mm. You got to have the lights.
Interesting, yeah. I don't think about that.
Because, how many times have we... I mean, there have been... They remember that video of the teenagers who literally killed the guy?
Yeah.
They were recording it, and they were on drugs, and they were literally like, hey, let's hit this dude. There's just this old guy riding his bike at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And they were all hopped up on whatever, and they film it, and they literally kill this man. For no reason other than him just riding a bike. I would never ride a bike.
Not in these big two laners. I
wouldn't
ride
a bike in any public ever in Memphis. Ever.
Do you ride at all?
No, and I never would. Never would. I mean, it's people just too reckless. People don't, you know.
Over like Cameron Brown or something?
I get annoyed by him just like everybody else. I'm like, damn, y'all slow as hell, you know. But, again, it's just like.
Green Line?
Green Line seems like a safe one.
Green Line works good. I like Green Line.
But, you know, these people that get on the road on the bike, like, yo. Dude,
yeah, that's intense.
No way.
I do Green Line. That's as safe as it gets for me. I can't get on them two lanes.
No way, bro. I ain't doing it. I'm not getting over I don't know what you call that, the median, the side of the road, whatever. I ain't doing none of that. I don't care if there's a bike line. I don't care if there is.
Is Chris right around? Is he do bike?
No. No. Not a biking kid anymore. He just gets in the passenger seat of my car.
There you go. He'll be driving for you.
It is technically safer. Yep. It is technically safer there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We used to have some bike adventures. It was a part of my childhood that I guess a part of him won't have that maybe I regret. But other than that, we're very safe.
Well, I had
it's
all on me.
I had the pegs.
Yeah. No, bikes were definitely a part of the childhood for sure.
Bikes were a big part of the childhood.
Me too. Yeah. That's all I did.
But I left them things in the childhood. I did not bring them with me to the adulthood.
Bikes are a great way to stay in shape.
They sure are.
Here's the thing. You can do it on a stationary bike.
It can't. Yeah, exactly. That's
right. I'm staying in shape upstairs in my house.
That's but, you know, we would point. Do that. We the would Peloton. Do, you know, for me, I don't remember what the brand was for you, but we would get the Mongoose.
Yeah, Mongoose is hardcore.
Mongoose was a good bike.
Yep, with the pegs.
Yeah.
That's what we would do.
Thick, freestyle
firmly
bikes.
Firmly built body. Seemed like the Mongoose was firmly built, like thick bars.
Yes. I had a Dino bike.
See, you
sound
know.
Sound like Walmart.
Yeah.
No, Dino was hardcore.
Was Dino hardcore? Okay, I didn't.
Dino wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't like Payless, bro. It was like good. I had pegs.
I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure.
Look, we don't want to insult the quality of the bike, right? We don't want to
Southern
invalidate.
Illinois bike.
Yeah, I mean,
man, I rode that thing all over Mount Olive,
now,
Illinois.
Now Mongoose, I recognize.
Yes.
Dynamo, I don't recognize.
Was it just and Dino? Just Dino.
Dino.
I
like Dino's short for Dinos, like dinosaur.
Yeah, with a Y.
Yeah, I will
look up Dino BMX.
I will say this, Brad. Like when I hear Dino bike, it does sound like a little bit like a Christmas story bike. You know what I mean?
Definitely
like,
thinking your dad got that at Walmart.
I got a GT, man. They didn't sell that at Walmart back in the day.
I think Mongooses were sold at Walmart as well.
No, Mongoose is a little higher end, I think.
It Mongoose was a good bike.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was high end.
I got a Mongoose.
That's just what everybody had. You know, everybody had the Mongoose bike. It was like a BMX style bike.
That's good quality. That's not.
I'm seeing Dino vintage bikes. This apparently was a quality bike back in the day.
It was a GT. I had the pegs on the front and the back. I had two riders at once with me.
BMX Museum has the Dino.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know,
Dino bike.
One time I went bike shopping and you want to know how I got these scores?
Entry level bikes.
Oh, is that from the Mongoose?
So, well, it was at Kmart. Yeah, I remember Kmart. And They used to have these bikes on the rack and stuff, you know, and I tried to climb on the bike to try it out. Well, the crotch of my shorts, because they were too baggy, it got hung up on the seat, and I tipped over, and as I was putting my hand out to land, it literally struck the side of the stand, the sharp corner of the stand, and it literally gashed my hand wide open there. I was just bleeding all over Kmart, man. It was crazy.
Oh, no.
In the store.
Yeah, it was and I had to get like, you know, I don't know how many stitches it ended up being. It felt like at the time, I remember looking at my hand and literally like losing blood. It felt like the biggest cut. I felt like I was going to die. You know, and it probably only was like a 7 or 8 stitcher, but you know, you're sitting there, you're bleeding out, and I'm like, I'm going to die in Kmart on this Mongoose bike. You know what I mean? It was quite the scene for me. But yeah, I mean, I bought one in COVID from All About Bikes.
Okay.
It was a Marshawn Lynch-themed silver and black Raider bike.
Wow.
It was very expensive, and I used it twice because it just hurt. It hurt my balls.
They were jumping up and down.
And just to sit on it, it just hurt my balls. You know, because I'm an old man now.
You wear a cup.
I'm not going to wear a cup to ride a bike, man. I'm not
just adjust yourself.
Yeah, or get some tighter shorts.
This was something that I realized, the bike is great. I had to leave this in my childhood, right? Like,
Can you sit in a seat without sitting on your stuff?
Well, the bike seat is pretty narrow, bro. I mean, you don't have a lot of room on that thing.
Yeah, but you can adjust, bro. You can pull up.
Yeah, I gave up.
Biking is one of my favorite things to do. I love biking. When we're on vacation, I bike. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, I
I'm not at Calkins level, but it's good.
Yeah, you should bike. You know, Calkins doing like 50-mile bike rides. Yeah,
homeboy got. Remember, he got into that accident himself, though.
Yeah, to the point. He's safe out here, Jeff.
To the point of your story, yeah. Jason. I mean, Calkins has been through this.
He has.
Dino became Pacific Cycle in 01.
Okay.
You were started in 82.
Yeah, back
in the
80s.
Dino brand name was sold to Pacific Cycle in 2001.
I feel like they denigrated our brand a
Pacific
little bit.
Cycle continued to sell Dino bicycles as entry-level bikes until the Canadian firm Dorel Industry acquired you in 2004. Yep.
Yeah,
you were undercapitalized and in need of investment.
Yeah, Dino. See, we're going to have to do some further investigation
Dino.
On this one. Aerodyne.
Dino.
D-Y. Yeah. D-Y.
What brand were you What brand were you riding back in the day?
I didn't have a Mongoose.
You didn't have a Mongoose?
No.
That feels like an early 2000s.
Again, my brand would have been Zayer.
Oh, Zayer.
Zayer.
I never heard of Zayer. Okay.
Zayer. Not, it wasn't a brand of bikes. It's where we got the bike from.
Oh, the store? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Here in Memphis?
Which was basically like a Payless.
Zayer
was kind of like a Walmart, if I remember correctly. They had a little bit of everything.
Over at Summer Avenue.
Yeah. Well, this one was
Northgate.
This one was right where the Home Depot is on Avalon. This was a Midtown Zayer.
I'm looking at
Zayers.
It okay.
I think is how you pronounce it. You could get everything in there. Parachute pants. You could get bikes. And we got a bunch of, you know, off-brand stuff in there.
Oh, this
Zayer
is good.
Was like an early Walmart. Yeah. Very early Walmart.
Yeah.
Folks won't remember. Goes back to Skaggs,
yep.
Which was before Costco.
It was sold to Ames Department Stores in 1988.
Yep.
And was phased out entirely by 1990. So this is early Jason Smith days.
We had so many bikes stolen in Midtown, taken from us, that we'd go back to Zayers and get another one. They were all very cheap bikes. You didn't get expensive bikes.
That's,
yep.
From where we were growing up.
I also had a skateboard phase.
Oh, I love. Me too.
Everybody had one.
I had a generic one, though. I had a roller derby. So it was low budge.
Yeah, I did.
Nottis Capaz was, isn't that Satan spelled backwards or something? Wasn't
yeah.
that his name?
Santa Cruz was the big
does
brand.
Does that name ring a bell with you? Wasn't it Nottis Capaz?
I don't
know.
Yeah,
a real person? He was, and it's like his name is Satan spelled backwards.
Yeah.
He was like a skater.
Tony Hawk was our idol back in the day.
Tony Hawk was definitely the one for me. Like, you had Bob Burnquist. Remember old Bob Burnquist, man, who was apparently Brazilian, is what I learned later in life.
Oh.
But
y'all
yeah.
were some squares did on, you that, like, on that Tony Hawk.
Did you buy, like, your truck separate, do all the deal
no,
with the wheels?
And stuff. Yeah. You know, I mean, we had, like, the skate shop and stuff, although I was really never good at it. So, I mean, it was just one of those things where I liked the design of the decks, like the Spitfire and all that. I liked it, but I was never really good at the skateboarding itself, and so I never really pursued it. Yeah, it's very difficult.
I was pretty decent. I did a lot of it.
I would like...
If you couldn't ollie, you weren't a real skater.
I would use it as transportation in the neighborhood, right? Like, it would get me to where I wanted to go.
Yep.
But I never went to, like, the skate park. My brother got into that stuff. He would go to, like, the Cordova skate park and stuff. Like, I would never do that. But I had a very brief skate. I mean, that's what we did. We did the bike, we did the skateboard, and then, you know, you're old and you have a family and you grow up and stuff.
Yeah,
so. Twitter is saying that at least that Dino was a better bike than Mongoose, bro.
Wow.
Okay.
They're on your side.
Rise up. Wow. I felt really good about having that Dino bike back in the day.
Rise up is crazy.
No, like
Dino's
DY.
Dino's rising up.
Dino, when I got my Dino bike, it was like getting a Corvette with two wheels. It was electric.
Yeah, I mean, I mean that's... For me,
X is standing with you.
Mongoose was cool for me.
It was fine. Mongoose is a solid brand.
They're saying
Walmart was sold Mongoose.
Yeah, Walmart sold Mongoose.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Walmart definitely sold Mongoose.
Damn it. Why did I think of Mongoose as a good bike then, man?
Well, I mean, it's not
I'm
a bad
older.
Bike.
I thought Mongoose was decent. I didn't realize Walmart
it's just
sold
a,
it,
it's
though.
Just a, what,
not to
what,
judge
what's wrong
it.
With Walmart?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I shopped at Payless. What am I talking about?
Right,
you know?
I mean, Walmart is
I'm not
a
judging it.
American family shop at Walmart.
How much high-end stuff do you have from Walmart?
I mean, you're not going to get high-end stuff, but you can still get quality stuff. I mean, you can buy a super box from Walmart, can't you?
Yeah,
and
Amazon
thing,
as well.
That thing lasted you 10 years.
Still ticking.
So, I mean, you can definitely, is it high end? No.
I didn't get mine from Walmart.
Oh, you
I think
didn't get
you can, one. Though.
Got
I think
it.
Brad got his from Amazon. He just doesn't like to talk about it.
Let's keep it.
As you know.
Yeah, he doesn't want to incriminate.
You know,
got a letter from Trump or something.
That's right. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Drew Hill, get his thoughts on the Grizz schedule and more. Stick around. J&J, 90.5 ESPN. Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, joins us every single Thursday. He joins us. Now, Drew, we have not had a chance to catch up with you since the schedule release. Just kind of go back over that before we move on to other matters. What were your big takeaways? What are you most looking forward to on this Grizz schedule next season?
Well, the home opener is pretty good with Utah coming to town, bringing Jaren back. I know he came back, but he didn't play. So that's good. That first road trip is pretty fun too. The West Coast trip, just getting the Warriors and then getting Ja early in the season in Portland, where hopefully he'll be healthy. Like, that should be a fun game, out on the West Coast. So I thought just from a opening like week and a half perspective, that's pretty good. You got to be pretty happy with that. Obviously in February, there's a big time home gauntlet there. So that makes it tough, but to have, you know, seven games with a rest advantage and seven with a disadvantage, it's pretty good. It just means that it's going to be mostly a level playing field throughout the season. And so I think you got to be pretty happy if you're the Grizzlies coming away with that. And so, I think that all in all, it's a pretty good schedule. There's obviously not a lot of national TV games. We weren't expecting a lot of them. But I think I'm most looking forward to just getting this thing started and seeing what this team looks like. And I think that first week and a half is pretty good from a schedule standpoint.
It seemed like, too, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I know Harrington is one of the people that have tied this two together. I know at one point John and I were expecting to see, like, Nashville games on there. But this is not happening before at least if it does happen, it's not happening before a long-term lease is signed. Is that your understanding, too, of it, Drew?
Well, I just think that the lease will be worked out before some sort of announcement that they're – I'm not saying that that's, like, part of the deal, that they're not playing unless they agree to a lease. Like, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I just think that it's probably more likely at this point that they are going to end up signing some sort of lease before they play games in Nashville. I still think the games in Nashville are coming, but – as we went later on into the summer, it became more clear that it wasn't going to be this season. And there was so much misinformation out there about that it just started to kind of get frustrating for people who didn't know which way it was going to go. But I think that ultimately that will happen. It's just not happening this season.
Yeah. All right. In terms of, there was a piece earlier this week at ESPN about, just sort of future projections and, scout opinions on not just the top four picks, but mostly the top four picks. And Cam Boozer was really high, whether it was first team all pro or first two being all pro, first two win a championship. It should come as no surprise, right, Drew, that the opinion of Cam Boozer around the league is as high as it is.
Yeah, it shouldn't come as any surprise, especially given what he did at Summer League, too. Obviously, the resume spoke for itself before he got to the Grizzlies. And then to show up at Summer League and impact the game in so many different ways, which is exactly what you thought you would be getting from him. If you ask me right now, who's going to have the most star power? Who's going to have the most... the flashiest, like, offensive scoring statistics, you probably would go with Darren Peterson or with DeBanza or someone else. But, like, Cam Boozer's best asset is that he impacts the game in so many different ways. He's a better playmaker than those guys. I just think that adding a player like that, you know, it appeals to people that watch basketball from more than a casual standpoint. So it doesn't surprise me that, like, the basketball media is extremely high on a player like Cameron Boozer, maybe higher on him than, you know, the casual fan might be. And so, yeah, I think it's not a surprise at all that they are enamored with what he'll be able to do. And I think that that's going to be something that's important to watch over the course of the season, is just, can he get even better in those areas, and what kind of catalyst is he going to become for this team? Because I do think that he does have legitimate talent around him, especially when you look at a starting lineup. Like, you know, he should be able to impact, you know, winning in a way that most rookies can't do when they step into the league as a number three pick, just given that the Grizzlies aren't starting with a bare cupboard here. Like, they do have some pieces that they feel good about going into the future. You can't say that about every team. So it's also going to be fascinating as we talk about this and like statistics and where these rookies fall. Peterson and DeBanza are also playing on teams where there's players that are already all-stars, like established all-stars on those teams. And there's only one basketball. And like, are they really going to put up super gaudy numbers? I think it's very possible that Peterson will. But I don't know. Like, there's going to have to be some level of balance on both the Jazz and the Wizards. And so I'll be interested to see which rookie is best positioned to, like, you know, put up the statistics needed to go win a Rookie of the Year award, because those guys do have Trae Young and Anthony Davis and Lauri Markkanen and Keontae George and Jaren Jackson on their teams. Like, and those guys are going to score and get theirs too. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out from the rookie standpoint.
What do you think, Drew? Is this Denver team still a top three, top fours team in the West now is currently constructed, a little bit thinner, having had to trade because they were operating the second apron? Peyton Watson, what do you think about this Denver team as they're now constructed?
I think they're still a competitor in the West, but they're still a step below the top of the line there. Obviously, I don't think that they're quite to the level of an OKC or San Antonio. I think if they played in a playoff series, it could be a competitive series if the, you know, the Nuggets stay healthy. But ultimately, this is what happens when you have to pay your best players. The roster just kind of begins to thin out as it ages, and that's kind of what the Nuggets have had to do, right? The whole Peyton Watson thing was about getting off salary, right? That's what this was about, because they couldn't risk going into that second apron, because then you can't really tweak at all your roster. So yeah, I mean, I think that they're kind of stuck in this position, and that's kind of the life cycle of an NBA team right now. Is like, eventually you get to the point where it's really, really hard to retain some of your young talent when your superstars are taking up so much of the salary cap.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough. I mean, again, I guess if you're a Nuggets fan, you're just saying, hey, we still have Jokic, we still have the best player in the world. But it's like, how do you square having that and then knowing that you really
don't have enough around him?
Yeah, like, you really don't have a chance to win an NBA championship. I mean, you could say it, and it's technically like true, but it's really not. Like, I could pull up the odds right now, and without looking, I would guess they're sixth or seventh at best. I mean, yeah, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're seventh in the odds. They're behind the Timberwolves. I mean, they're tied for the Timberwolves. I mean, and you have the best player in the world. I mean, I can't call it a failure, but it's like, it's not where you should be when you have the best player in the world.
Right. No, that's absolutely right. And you know, I do think if you look at Minnesota too, with Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert, they're kind of also dealing with this, we're kind of stuck in this stage type of thing. That's why they tried to do the refresh and add LaMelo Ball and see how that might be able to get them over the hump. But it gets more complicated as it goes along. That's why, you know, people harp on why it's so important to be good at drafting players, because that's where you find value. It's kind of the same concept as the NFL, right? If you have your quarterback on your rookie deal, you can afford to spend on all the pieces around him, right? If the best player on your team is still on the rookie deal, that's when you're best positioned to be super successful. And, you know, you see, as those players sort of age out of that rookie deal and they have to take up bigger chunks of the contract, you see guys start giving money back the way that Wemby did, the way that Pat Mahomes did, to try to figure out a way to be more competitive, because it's really hard to work around those massive chunks of salary. And that's kind of why the Grizzlies made the decision that they did to get off of Ja Morant, because if you have a player or two players really between him and Jaren taking up that much salary, if they're not championship level players, if they're not the elite of the elite, then you don't have a chance at winning a championship. And that's kind of the spot that both Minnesota and Denver are in right now. I like Minnesota's chances a little bit better, but that's ultimately what you have to ask yourself. But I think if you're Denver and you said, you know, is Jokic a championship level star? your answer is going to be yes, you've seen him do it. But some of these other stars across the league, if you ask yourself, is this a championship level star? Is it worth paying this player 30% of the salary cap? Your answer is probably going to be no more times than not.
Well put. Drew, do we know whether the Ja Holmes stayed in the Grizz family? You know, Kyle Anderson sold it to him. John was making the point, well, who else, you know, could buy it? Yeah, absolutely. You know, who's got that kind of money coming into Memphis? I guess we discussed, you know, folks like Cameron putting down roots. I'm not suggesting Cam did, but was there news that a Grizzly bought it? I just want to make sure. I didn't see any headlines, right? That a Grizzly bought that.
I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't considered that or looked into that at all. Yeah. Usually, these homes are bought under trusts, right? Players buy homes under trusts, so I don't know if anyone's name would be attached to it even if you looked it up. Gotcha. But I actually don't know the answer to that, Jason. That's an interesting question. Maybe I should see.
No, that's not one. I guess you should. I mean, it feels like if it was, that would have gotten out. Like if it stayed Grizzly, if Jod sold it to one of the new guys, I feel like would know. If it did.
Yeah, I don't think it. Well, I can tell you, I know Cam is not in that house. So
that's what I want in the end because I think it's haunted. Yeah. So I just didn't want him in it. So. Ultimately, you've answered the question as you usually do.
You're in that house after you got a big raise.
Are you in the house, Drew?
No, I'm not in the house. Wouldn't be opposed, you know. They want to give us a good deal, you know.
Drew,
wouldn't be opposed.
Did you have a BMX bike growing up, and was it a GT, Dino, or Mongoose if you did?
I think I had a Mongoose.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this question stemming from?
Well, it appears that Brad's one-upped us and that his Dino was better than our Mongoose. We were talking about our grow-up days, how we all had bikes, and found that to be true. Now we're seeing it's sort of a power ranking of those bikes. Dino, apparently better than Mongoose. GT, Brad, I'm seeing some have ahead of Dino. And so, depending upon what you had, sounds like you were at the bottom of the ladder along with me with our Mongooses, Drew. You were very proud of
yours. Do you remember teaching your kid to ride a bike?
Yeah, it didn't last long for me. Nah, he was. I couldn't keep him interested, dude. I don't know what it is. These kids now, they see him. They don't want to learn how to ride a bike with training wheels. What they want is something that is self-propelled because that's what they see on the streaming. So you be very careful with
get
them
started early.
Yeah, you have to get them started early. Yeah. Now, Brad did this.
Yeah.
You went through the years of it
all
with Jake, right?
Yeah, all of it.
Okay.
And we started him with one of those, what is it, a tricycle? The tricycle start is a key because that's three wheels before two, and then, you know, you do the training wheels, and then take them damn training wheels off. Make sure you're in a grass area, of course, you know. The best place in Germantown is over there by the tennis courts, over by the horse venue, because they've got that grass on grass on either side of that single row where you know, the sidewalk goes right through the middle of the grass.
Yep.
So if you fall, you generally fall on
there
the grass.
There you go, Drew.
Little tip.
Brad will have better advice. John will have better advice because Riley.
She's in that area, yeah.
Yeah, we're not really full bore.
Do we raise kids on bikes anymore?
She has a bike.
I didn't.
You know,
so
you've seen her. You know, you've pushed her on that damn thing.
She was on it.
But not really.
But you're telling me it's not really her thing.
No, it's not. She doesn't ever say I want to go ride the bike. You know, it's not.
See, we did that as kids
because it was transportation.
Oh yeah.
It was. How can I get to my friend's house quicker? You know, how can I get to the gas station up the street, the corner store, quicker? You know what I mean? That's what it was for me. So.
Yeah, well, we did all that when I was a kid, but I only asked because, you know, my wife is so sad that my baby's growing up so fast. And I was like, you know, you do have to cherish it for sure, but there's always going to be the next thing, right? You don't ever stop being a parent.
That's right.
You're a parent, you're just still a parent forever. And so I was like, aren't you looking forward to teaching her her ABCs? Aren't you looking forward to teaching her how to ride a bike, all these things? And she was like, I don't want to think about my kid riding a bike. So anyway, I don't know. I'm looking forward to all that stuff. I think that'll all be fun too.
Drew, God bless you, man. Thanks for the time as always.
You're a great father. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, Thanks, guys.
Yep. We'll come back, wrap this up on a Thursday. J&J, 92.9 FM.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
ESPN, this Saturday, August 22nd, 2 days, it's the 60% off sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's the real deal. 6 hours, starting at 10 a.m. this Saturday, you get 60% off anything in the showcase. That's diamond anniversary bands, diamond rings, diamond pendants. 60% off on designer jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, everything you see in the store. 60% off starts this Saturday, 10 a.m., in-store only, 376 Perkins across from Laurelwood Shopping Center.
There you go. Bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones, all of it. 60% off. Even name brand watches are 60% off. Got a couple bullables from our man Howie. Last time I took advantage of one of these 60% off sales, I suggest you do the same as well. They've got over 1,000 items to choose from. The key to being able to choose from all 1,000 is that you get there, as John said, at 10 a.m. That's when the sale starts. Going to end at 4. 6 hours only, and this Saturday only at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Again, this is the showroom on Perkins Extended, so get over there. For complete details on the sale, you can visit rijewelers.com, or of course follow them on social media at rijewelers.
I saw like a I don't know how actually accurate it is by the end of it all, but I saw like there was a state of Virginia study that data centers could raise so much tax revenue that citizens of the state of Virginia could see a 30% decrease in property taxes, over the next few years. And I'm just like, when does that hit Memphis?
Well, they're paying second most behind FedEx.
Yeah, but our property tax ain't going down now.
Well, yeah, you'd be here a little while, hopefully.
Yeah, my property tax
will have that same kind of effect.
Yeah, like my mortgage payment all in has gone up, I want to say, like 25% since COVID, which, you know, yeah, I mean, crazy.
It fluctuates?
Oh, yeah, because you have, you know, you have...
with the tax revenue part of it?
Property tax, yeah. House insurance costs, you know, I mean, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's crazy. What I was paying in 2021, what I'm paying now is, like, it's nuts. I mean, I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people sustain 25% increases in mortgage. Like I don't love it. I'm not having a good time. You know what I mean?
You might find you some different insurance to go just drop down a little bit. I think I did that last time.
Well, we did. We went up on the premium, you know, and then you hope to never have to use it. But yeah, man. Even with all that, I don't know what the deal is, but my mortgage keeps going up. So I don't know how to change this.
I want you to know that with a couple of days left here, it appears in the voting over on Instagram at NCAA March Madness, Memphis perhaps on the precipice of its first Sweet 16 since 2009. This is a 3v3 tournament that John and I have told you about earlier in the week that's happening
over
on Instagram. Again, this is the official
March Madness
yes.
Instagram account. They're doing a 3v3 tournament of 21st century players at each of these schools. It's a 64-team tournament and bracket. Memphis, which knocked off Washington in the first round. Remember, it's Memphis with Tyreek Evans, Derrick Rose, and who's my other pick? Trying to do all that from memory.
Tyreek Evans, CDR, D. Rose.
CDR is the one that I left off. You are ahead of Louisville right now. And the in the 5-4 matchup with a chance to go to the Sweet 16 where you would then face number one seed Duke. That said, you'll take perhaps knocking off Louisville. I don't know if we thought we were going to do that early in the week.
Yeah.
It's Montrezl Harrell. It's Russ Dickulis. Who's their third?
Donovan Mitchell.
There you go.
Yeah.
Memphis
but,
leads.
Look, we're going to
vote for it.
We're going to get absolutely fried in the next round, but that's fine.
That's Sweet 16, first one since 09. That's what we came for.
Yeah.
And that's what we wondered if we could do it. Looks like it's on the precipice of happening.
Yes, absolutely.
You at least have a lead right now. Looks like 53%.
Yeah. I mean, we're in a good
place.
In terms
of the vote.
We'll take it. Put a banner up. Sweet 16. You know what I mean? We'll take it. And then Duke gets Zion, Shane Battier, and...
Maybe we'll pull a little upset there. If it's about votes and your fan base voting, maybe you can pull the upset there. Duke folks won't care.
Yeah, that's true. The Duke
they won't care. It's Duke. Cooper, Zion, and Shane Battier.
Yeah. Ooh.
Is there three?
Shane Battier is very random on that list, though. I feel like I'm not sure why all the Duke players they've had since 2000, Shane Battier. I mean, I know he had a great Duke career, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had, I mean, J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick would have been a better choice to me.
Maybe there's a weak link there with Battier. Maybe there's a way to exploit that thing.
I mean,
if we can get through Louisville.
If you went through the top 10 players of Duke since 2000.
Grant Hill's pre-2000. Yeah you got to go 2000 today. Wow.
I mean, J.J. Redick's didn't J.J. Redick leave as like a he was the National College Player of the Year in 06. He won the Rupp Trophy two times in a row,
yeah.
which was the – back in the day, that was the Player of the Year award. He was a two-time consensus first-team All-American. I mean, was Shane Battier better than that?
He was on, a more balanced team that had more guys on it, so I don't know that his numbers were close.
Jay Williams? He was in there?
Yeah, Jay Williams was in there. He was a first-team All-American once. Shane was. He was a National College Player of the Year once. So, I mean, and he won a title.
Tatum, Banchero, Irving, Williamson.
Irving didn't play, right? So he broke his leg and didn't end up playing at Duke. So, and then Tatum, I don't really remember Jason Tatum much at Duke.
And Duke's punishing Oklahoma in the other, in the other round of 32 matchup too. So we're not going to get an upset. It'll be Duke if you beat Louisville.
Yeah,
and we'll likely go down there.
Hey, we'll take a Sweet 16 though. That's all we
Sweet.
Want.
Whatever, do for the program.
Yeah.
Restore some pride.
Right? Yeah.
Back to a Sweet 16.
Hell yeah. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Drew Hill for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jonah Dillon as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason and John, we're gone.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep. It's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare.
When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.